Now, back to high school football on Jackson's Hit Music, K105.3.
C. Boyle, Brian Haynes at Napoleon High School, and just about ready for kickoff. Final minutes ticking off the scoreboard here as the band exits the field, and we're getting the introduction of the Pirates on the field. Napoleon 0-1 now on the season. If you tune in for last week's game, you heard a final score 54-7 as they were on the road. Short trip on the road, but down to Columbia Central. And despite the lopsided score, 54-7, Tobin McCrum went 16 for 29, 180 yards, and one touchdown. So as much as he was trying to consistently just escape tacklers and kind of run it for his life, he still had a pretty decent trip to the stat book.
Yeah, Steve, if any listener had us last week, they know they heard us say that Tobin, even though he was running for his life, but he was fairly accurate on the run and pretty impressive high school performance.
Yeah, 29 attempts almost sounds low for how much he actually seemed to be throwing the football last week. And we'll see if they open it up like that again offensively against this East Jackson Trojan team. So I had McCrum 16 to 29 for 180 yards and a touchdown. Tyler Owen, his favorite target there, 6 catches, 48 yards and a score for Owen. So we'll watch those two and see if they can link up again tonight and keep that stat sheet filling up. Last year, these two teams met. East Jackson got the loss, 33-6. And the Trojans haven't had a lot in the W column last few years. We were talking before the game, 17-game losing streak for EJ. But every game is an opportunity to break that streak, and tonight they feel like they've got a chance.
Yeah, Steve, I was talking to Coach Punches earlier today, and he said he's been here for, this is his third year now, and he said he feels like this is the first time that everybody is kind of on the same page, and he's very excited, very senior-led team, and I'm expecting a good one here tonight.
Right. Coach Punches, you know, we'd get a chance to bump into him because he's also the athletic director. So after the game, we do a broadcast out there, and we're locking up, and we get a few minutes to talk with him afterwards. And he said, you know, it's moving in the right direction, and it's tough sledding. But, you know, you get the feeling that when you get the right amount of kids who have been in the system for long enough and buy in, that they're going to have a chance to really get a few wins strung together at East Jackson. I mentioned 17-game losing streak for the Trojans, and that goes back to we were thinking about it, and I did look at it today, but I didn't write it down their last win, but it was first game season before last since they've had a W, and so they'll look to do it on the road here tonight with the Napoleon Pirates. It is East Jackson and Napoleon set to lock it up. Let's go ahead and take another one-minute break, and we'll come back with a kickoff on K105.3 Football Frenzy.
We now return to high school football on K105.3.
Steve Boyle, Brian Haynes, the ball's teed up and ready to be kicked. Gavin Bell, senior for East Jackson, kicks off. It goes to the left side, fielded at the 20, and he's going to run it right into the pack, sneaking his way through. He's going to get hung up at about the 35 and go down at about the 37. On the return was Tyler Owen for Napoleon.
Looked like in number 60, James Osborne bringing him down there.
He went right into the teeth and was able to slink through there a little bit. They did pull him down, and now let's call it the 38-yard line.
You know, you're talking about East Jackson not having a win. Kind of a new look, East Jackson. I like the new unis, the black matte helmets, little old-school white uniforms look kind of Penn State-ish.
Yeah, I guess those are going to be navy rather than black, but it does look black from here. But definitely the matte finish and a good look. All white unis and Penn State is a good comparison. Passing to the left to the 50, and Owen's got the catch. He's into East Jackson territory on first down. He's only about 14 yards on the pass. And Napoleon's in business, and Tobin McCrum has his first completion of the game.
Yeah, Treylan Lehman bringing him down, and I expect number two to be busy back there after watching McCrum slinging it around last week. So,
yeah, that whole defensive backfield is going to have to be on their best behavior tonight. But they may get an opportunity here or there for a pass interception, and if their defensive line can get some penetration. EJ coming off a loss, 48-18 to Adrian Madison a week ago. Now on the road in those white uniforms, first chance to get them dirty. Tonight, McCrum from the East Jackson 47. Rolling out right, passes right, open in the flat, and it's Tyler Owen again. He makes the catch. Loses, he had about 2 yards, but he comes back a little bit to try to escape the tackler and ends up going essentially for no gain. But a lot of the same plays, well, it's two plays in, but that's kind of the same look you were getting against Columbia Central, where they like to snap the ball and immediately start rolling, and everything kind of goes to that same direction with McCrum throwing on the run. That time it was a strike, but no yards after the catch. Second down and 10 from the 47-yard line. McCrum out of the shotgun with four wide receivers, three split left, rolling to his left, throwing across his body, and out beyond the hands of the receiver intended on that play was Javen Toomey-Patterson for the Pirates.
Yeah, Colby Panther chasing down McCrum there, putting some pressure on. I'm sure Tobin was used to that after last week, seeing jerseys coming at him from the opponents.
I saw Coach Derek Schell before the game out here, and he told me he was pleased that virtually everyone's healthy. After a week ago, he said, actually, they got some kids back that were not healthy last week. So he's got a pretty much full-strength roster. I think he had one or two kids at maximum that were unable to suit up tonight. McCrum's healthy, though, and he's in the shotgun here with a 3rd and 10 situation. Three wide receivers split left. This time he goes straight back on a fly route up the right sideline and just missed. Incomplete pass. They had a chance to go deep there. And looks like Cody Fry intended on the play.
Yeah, Cody Fry, boy, we saw him last week, too, make a couple nice catches, and that one looked to be kind of in the breadbasket. He might have had six there had he hung on to that.
So fourth down and long, and the punt unit comes out of the field. Fry was a standout for the Pirates on defense a week ago. I think he had about 8 tackles for the Pirates. Punt team in, and the kick is up. A pretty good high end-over-end kick. It's going to get down to the 23 and fielded. Dodges a couple tacklers over the 30 to about the 32-yard line. On the return is Michael Brown for Napoleon. Or excuse me, East Jackson.
And right on cue, 32, Cody Fry makes the tackle. Got used to mentioning that tonight.
East Jackson offense out on the field for us the first time, as you mentioned. If you're listening at home, you're picturing the East Jackson team. Penn State uniform is a good comparison, and it's their first road game of the season, so they're still all fresh and white. They'll have plenty of opportunity to get grass stains on them here tonight as we're just underway in the first quarter for Minuteman Sewer and Drain Cleaning. 10-16 to go, zeros on the scoreboard. Draw play on first down, and the Napoleon defense stops that with no gain. Lehman, the carrier on the play. Second down, virtually still 10 yards, right from the 35-yard line. As the Trojans come to the line. It's a pistol formation, a couple wings, and two wide receivers. Taking the snap back to pass on second down. We'll get a flag. It's going to be a false start. Procedure penalty against the Trojans. Moving back 5 yards. Second down and 15.
Yeah, Coach Punches was telling me that Devin Varela, the East Jackson quarterback, had been used to playing strictly in a T offense, and now they're kind of moving more to a spread. But as you mentioned, looks like a couple wings back there.
Uh-huh. And, you know, it's not an this is a look that you see a lot in the area. Kind of Michigan Center will do this a little bit with a couple of wings there, putting people in motion, a lot of misdirection. In this case, they split them out wide with four wide. And the pistol back there is Brown for East Jackson. Burrell takes the snap. Quick pass, kind of a bubble screen coming in, but good job by the Napoleon defense to pursue. Receiver on the play is Jeremiah Allen. He's going to get about 2 yards on the play, and that'll make a third down, and let's count it out to about 12 yards for East Jackson.
Jeremiah had a nice game last week. He had 115 yards receiving and a touchdown, I believe. So, hey, he's 113 more to go to match last week's performance.
And you mentioned East Jackson able to go through the air for quite a bit of yards a week ago. Didn't necessarily amount to a W, but they're out here trying to perfect that air attack on a third and long. 12 to go to the first down marker in motion. And back to pass, empty backfield. Varela looking downfield, now chased out of the pocket. And he'll drop it off to the bailout receiver. And that is Lamont, and he's going to get close to the 40. It's going to be shy of a first down, make it fourth down in about 4 yards. And decision time for the Trojans. I'd expect a punt, but fourth down and 4 yards. Looks like they will get a personnel change, but
it's kind of interesting looking out there tonight compared to last week. Last week we look at Columbia's sideline, and there were 30 people on the sideline, but tonight it looks a little more evenly matched, about the same amount of players for Napoleon and East Jackson. So,
yeah, this is classic Cascades Conference football. You got a lot of guys who have to play both ways. Not that they get to, they have to. So they got the punt unit in for East Jackson, and it's Jace Poole back to take the snap. And nobody back to return for Napoleon. So the kick gets away, but we get a flag, and we're going to have a procedure penalty. Offside for the signal. That is going to go against East Jackson, so move it back a little bit here and another chance to punt.
Yeah, I don't know if Napoleon wasn't buying that they were really punting, but as you mentioned, there's nobody back. I don't know if they thought East Jackson had some trickery going early, but now they're sending somebody back.
Looking for the spot of the football. It's a 5-yard penalty. Make it 4th and 9. And the punt unit stays in there. Not real deep to return, but it's Tyler Schneider back for Napoleon. Snap is good. The kick is away. It goes nearly straight up. He's going to need a good bounce, and it kicks out of bounds. Put it about the 39-yard line, so it's going to be a net punt of about 4 yards. And we saw that last week again, Brian, where the first couple punts were pretty bad, but after they got a little rhythm, they improved later in the game. But you'd like to shift the field position around a little more than that if you're East Jackson. So the defense is going to have their work cut out for them.
You know, Steve, it's kind of funny. That's a skill that I think football fans take for granted. But
yeah,
but around here, how many, you know, dads are saying, come on, son, let's go out and punt the ball around. You know, everyone's throwing it around. So you do see some.
Right. It's a pitch out on first down. McCrum out to Schneider, and he's gobbled up there at about the 41-yard line. Nice open field tackle by the Trojans.
Yeah, Jeremiah Allen did a great job there containing the edge and making a nice form tackle.
They're going to give him they gave him even more loss than I gave him, so make it second down at about 12.5 here for Napoleon. We've got 6:47 to go. First quarter of our game brought to you by Minuteman Sewer and Drain Cleaning. They open drains, others can't. Glad to know that they're out there if I need them. Can't have those drains backing up. Shotgun from McCrum. Schneider in the backfield. Three wide. Looks like he got a tight end just a little off the line. And that's the intended receiver. He goes a little too high out over his head. Toomey Patterson, the intended on the play, but incomplete. Make it third down and about 12. And right now, East Jackson's defense showing they're up to the task of corralling this Napoleon offense.
Hey, you know, when you're a high school kid and you've gone a couple years without a win and you come into a place like Napoleon tonight feeling pretty confident, feeling good, you're going to get a great effort from these guys. I mean, they want to get rid of that donut in the win column, so we're expecting great effort here tonight and a great game.
Third down and long, and McCrum out of the shotgun, joined in the backfield by Kale Fairbanks. Four wideouts, three split left now for McCrum. On the snap, he's back to pass, looking left. Now chased a little bit out of the pocket, on the run to the right. He's going to get pulled down. No, he kept on his feet, got it away. East Jackson sidelines want an intentional grounding. But the pass is incomplete. McCrum had a little space and was looking to throw, and then a defender came streaking toward him.
Yeah, Jeremiah Allen's been all over the field so far.
Yeah, he's really impressed so far. And the open field tackling by East Jackson has been something to be proud of thus far.
Yeah, with McCrum there out of the pocket and he got that ball off. He was past the line of scrimmage. I think no grounding there was, but they are marking off something.
They did call the intentional grounding, as the announcer. I missed the signal of it, but yeah, the flag was on the field. I always feel like on that play that the officials are never really fast to call it. They want to talk it out and, you know, look at where the ball landed and make a decision. So fourth down, and now 17 yards. And the punt team's out for the Pirates. Brown back to return for East Jackson again. From the 40, gets the kick away. Some outstretched hands, pretty good kick, fielded by Brown, and he's tackled immediately right about the 21-yard line. He almost dropped that football. It's almost like the defender helped him hold on to it.
Yeah, Tyler Snyder and Brown both looked like they were catching it about the same time. That was kind of a gutsy catch there.
Yeah.
I think my hand would have been up on that one. That might have been fair catching that one. But
yeah, there's traffic there for sure. And that's another one of those things that you take for granted. It's just catching the football. But the football's up high. It's not a round football, so you don't know what kind of movement you're going to get in the air. So catching a punt is it's a craft. It's to be respected when you make a tough catch like that. Five wide now. Varela, and he's going to take the QB draw. Pirates are ready for it. And he's going to go nowhere. I don't think he lost anything. And about right back to that line of scrimmage, which they did put up at about the 24. So once again, we start the game with me being terrible at spotting the football on the field.
Well, we're up kind of high, Steve, and
I have this
excusable.
And this pillar right in my vision as I lean out the window here.
No, Napoleon's nose guard, Connor Messner, made that tackle for his second tackle of the game.
Now you got a pistol formation here for Varela. Brown in the backfield and four wide receivers for the East Jackson offense. Back to pass on second down. Looking for a runner up the middle. Nothing there. Now Varela pulls it down to run. He's going to get about three, maybe four on the play. Had the guy he wanted for a moment, thought better of throwing it, and then pulls it down to run. It's going to leave him at third down. And about five. They'll give him about five on the carry there. Third and five is manageable for the Trojans. 4:41 to go first quarter. Still scoreless. Our first quarter brought to you by Minuteman Sewer and Drain Cleaning.
Definitely kind of having that early game feeling of two teams just kind of feeling each other out, seeing what they might be able to do. Both defensive lines playing well so far, putting pressure.
Again, four wide for Varela. This time we got trips to the right. Brown in the backfield. Out of the shotgun, he snaps back to throw. Looking for a quick slant, nothing there. Now chased out of the pocket. Varela cuts it back to the middle of the field. And he'll be pulled down. Probably lost half a yard on the play. It's going to bring up fourth down about six for the Trojans.
And it's coming to no surprise to anybody that watches Napoleon football so far. Cody Fry was in on the tackle.
And it looks like the punt team out again for EJ. No, there's Varela coming back out. Fourth down. Or is that the punter? Varela's just out there as kind of a threat.
It's kind of the up back.
Schneider out back to receive the punt. He's at the 45-yard line in Napoleon territory. Snaps a little high, tough to handle, and he's going to have to run with it. He's got some room on the sideline, turns it upfield. We get a flag. He's got first down distance. If the flag's where I might expect it to be a holding call, and that would ruin, well, it was about a 13-yard run. Well, 7 on the field, but 13 on the ground. From all the way back in that high snap, and he just pulled it down and ran.
Yeah, I don't know if that. Do you think that was a devised fake, or do you think that was out of necessity on that one?
He caught that and looked and saw defenders right in his face, knew he wasn't going to get the kick away, and just took off.
Yeah, you know, we talk about the skill of
punting. And it's a holding against Napoleon, so the penalty is declined, and the first down for East Jackson.
Well, you don't ever see holding calls on the defense like in
right.
that situation.
Well, on that, and it's a chance where they were transitioning into becoming the offense. So there's, you know, there's that desire to keep your man in front of you or to keep him off balance. So, and a broken play, I think a lot of times you find guys who are not sure what they're supposed to be doing, and if a guy's going past you, you might feel the urge to grab him. Hey, congratulations to Trista Rink, Nicole Mitchell, Joe Bragg, Dwayne Lewis, Dan Pace, Chad Barris, Tony Griggs, Craig Fairbank, Sandy Fisher, and Autumn Udenbone have qualifying for a $1,053 giveaway. And a winner of a $50 Amazon gift card tonight, Misty Burkhart, at the pregame tailgate with J-Rod. In motion for East Jackson on first and 10. And a little misdirection, finally handed off and kind of poorly executed there on the give. It didn't help that East Jackson had a few defenders that were able to break a little bit and penetrate. The handoff goes to Gavin Bell on first down. They'll lose about one. Second down and 11 from the Napoleon 34-yard line.
You see those misdirection things, as you mentioned earlier, a lot of high school teams running those, but that one just seemed pretty slow developing, and yeah. Napoleon was in there before he even got the ball.
Yeah, everybody was taking a fake handoff and nobody blocking. Four wide receivers now. East Jackson staying spread out. And this time a quick bubble screen out and sniffed out and tackled immediately. Ball was loose at the end of the play. And they're going to say he was down. No fumble. But another good defensive play by the Pirates.
I think they're calling that incomplete even.
Oh, okay.
Well, maybe not. Clock is now moving, and they have spotted the ball back there. Great tackle by Patrick Thomas there, shedding one blocker and then wrapping him up.
Yeah, they were back there quickly, ready to make that play, open field. Minute 46 to go, first quarter, still scoreless. It's been kind of a, I don't know, for a couple teams that have been passing the football a lot, we haven't had a ton of clock stoppages and no scores here, so that clock tends to run by quickly. Third and about 16 for East Jackson. Varela back to pass, unblocked, and it looked like he was going to get sacked, but he almost had that sixth sense about him, noticing that Cody Vincent was bearing down, and he bailed on the pocket. Varela tackled for another loss.
Yeah, there again, Cody Fry's going to be in the stat book making that tackle, but you're right, Cody Vincent is the one that put that pressure in from the left edge. Got Varela out there moving.
We had a little confab with the officials and Coach Punches. I couldn't tell if he was gesturing to his quarterback or to the officials. But now we're under a minute in the first quarter. Still scoreless here at Napoleon High School. East Jackson's been using every down they can. Last punt attempt turned into a rushing first down by East Jackson. Maybe they put that in the playbook. We'll see what happens here. Their only first down of the game on a broken punt play, but neither team has managed much ball movement so far. The defenses have played have outplayed the offenses thus far into this one.
Yeah, not only no score, but unofficially, there's been a total of 12 offensive yards.
And 52 seconds, I think we got a timeout. We're moving the football over to the other hash.
All right, well, let's see for East Jackson if this snap can be a little more direct, a little less loft to it.
Jace Poole waiting to receive that snap. Schneider back to return it low this time, but he does get the kick away. A pretty good punt. Nice and high. It's going to bounce at the 45 and go over the 40 and all the way down to the 35-yard line, and that is what we meant when we said he needed to get a little warmed up. The first punt was not anything to be proud of. That one really shifted the field position around. And with 41 seconds to go in the first quarter, East Jackson has moved Napoleon back to their worst starting field position for a drive yet.
Tell you what, if the game goes like this, those punts are going to become huge plays in this game. I mean, this is going to definitely be a field position game, because then maybe, you know, if somebody gets a turnover, now they don't have to try to march the length of the field. And the way this first quarter's gone, that might be how somebody's going to score.
It's the Pirates huddle up. on the offense. 41 seconds here in the first quarter. Our first quarter brought to you by Minute Maid Sewer and Drain Cleaning. They open drains, others can't. Four wideouts for McCrum. Schneider in the backfield with him. Shotgun formation. McCrum standing on the 30-yard line, first and 10 from the 35. In Napoleon territory. Takes the snap. Hands off to Schneider. Gets through the line. Lost the football. It's loose. It looked like the Trojans had it. We'll see what the officials say. A couple players who had a shot at it. And Napoleon kept it. 77 on Napoleon. That is, I don't have his number.
Well, that's Josh Adams.
Josh Adams.
Yep. If I recall, he was our mystery number last week.
You're right.
Yeah.
Josh Adams making the play on the line. Second down. They got about 3 yards on the run with the fumble recovery. Second down and 7. A little early motion for the Pirates.
Yeah, maybe that's going to be the answer. Run, fumble it forward, and pick up some extra yards.
But if that's your game plan, you're going to want to avoid the false start on the next play.
I'm going to hope that's not their game plan.
Apparently it was a... No, okay. The official started walking the wrong way, and he had me changing my mind up here instead. They do move it back. Napoleon will get the football. Second down and 12 yards now after the 5-yard penalty. Four wideouts from McCrum. Hands off again. This time Schneider through the line. No fumble. He's going to get up to the 40, maybe to the 41, depending on the spot. Excuse me, it wasn't Schneider. That was Cale Fairbanks on the carry.
Yeah, linebacker Jacob Buckland with a nice tackle there from behind, too.
I think the run game is going to be the way to go for the Pirates here. Third down and 4 when we return. 1 minute break at the end of the first quarter for Minuteman Sewer and Drain Cleaning. We're tied at zeros on K105.3.
Back to the game of the week. It's high school football on K105.3.
Zero to zero at the end of the Minuteman Sewer and Drain Cleaning first quarter here on K105.3, the football frenzy. 12 minutes up on the clock. Napoleon, we switch ends. They're moving left to right on your radio dial. And football firmly planted there at the 41-yard line. Third down, about 4 yards.
If you're East Jackson, we've played a quarter, tie game. You've definitely been in there. They got to be happy.
Yeah, they're very much in this game. Right now you see... I don't know if Brown sees that. There's a man who looks to be uncovered. You get him 10-yard cushion, but they hand off, and the Trojans are ready for it. He's going to lose a yard on that play.
Senior Andrew Trepka just threw him down there. Met him a yard behind the line of scrimmage.
Out-of-town scoreboard for Tri-County Water. After one quarter at Lumen Christi, 0-0, Panthers and Titans.
Huh.
Bit of a surprising score.
Yeah. I was talking to one of the Western coaches, and he told me that he thought they could play with them, so he'd be right.
So far, fourth down and about 5, and another punt from Napoleon, and this one's a rocket. It bounces inside of the 30, goes out at about the 27-yard line. So East Jackson's going to have a big field to work with here. Backed up into their territory a little bit after a pretty solid punt for Napoleon. Kept it away from the return man. Yeah, the Trojan offense will come back out.
We talk about what football fans expect from what you watch on TV, but here we are in high school. And in high school, Cascades football, a nice 30-35-yard punt.
Sure.
Is definitely a field switcher. So nice punt there.
And realistically, if it kept going back at this back-and-forth kind of style, if at some point your punt started getting inside the 10, now you start thinking the defense might be able to score.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a different strategy than you think of if you're just NFL or, big program college football. And there's a handoff for East Jackson on first down. Nice run by Brown. Looked like they had him stopped. Kept the legs churning. Able to roll forward. He got hit at about the 30-yard line. And then rolled past the tackler. He's got another yard or two. Actually got him spotted at the 31. So second down and about six for the Trojans. But a nice run play on first down. That's Michael Brown on the carry. He is the back again with four wideouts. Spread formation for Varela at quarterback. They passed a lot so far. This time they go to Brown again. Barry Sanders like shift in the backfield, and he gets to the first down marker and battles his way for the first down. And that'll move the chains for the Trojans. Brown had a guy going at his legs just beyond the line of scrimmage, and the beautiful juke move to slide over and turn it upfield for a good 7-yard gain. First down.
Yeah, we don't have up here list of heights and weights, but you look at Brown, he is kind of Barry Sanders-ish in stature.
Yeah,
not real tall looking, but boy, he had a couple Barry moves right there.
Yeah, nice footwork for Brown. And again, what I really like is that he's not giving up on the play after the first hit, some run after contact to keep the ball moving and get another first down for East Jackson. First and 10 from the 38. Varela in the shotgun. Two backs with him there this time. Three wide. Hands off to Brown again with a lead blocker. Gets it to the outside. Cuts it upfield. Good job to grab him because Brown was starting to get ahead of steam. He does get up to about the 44 before he's pulled down. But it really was a great job by the tackle to stop him from getting momentum and kind of drag him from behind a little bit.
I think that was Hartley Marvin making that nice tackle. Hanging on. Letting his buddies come finish it off.
A crew of pirates making the tackle there. Pirate crew. You see the big pirate mascot here tonight, Brian?
I'm looking for him.
He has a sword, but he assured us that we weren't in any danger.
I'm going to hang out with him at halftime.
All right. Four wideouts now for Varela. Three of them split left. He hands off to Brown up the middle. And Brown runs into a pile of pirates, and he moves the pile another yard. So contact at about the 45, and the play ends at about the 47. Brown continues to get that little extra boost after contact. And right now he's been the best offensive option here for East Jackson. Third down at about two for another Trojan first down near midfield.
Yeah, early in the game, we're going to call this right now the best drive of the game. And it's gone 22 yards.
But I think both teams came out looking to throw the ball around on their first couple possessions, and then both, I think, also realized that, hey, let's try the run game out. EJ's had some success, and I like this formation they've used when they've handed off to Brown. He had a lead blocker. This time, Varela's going to keep it. Pulled down from behind. Great job to get in the backfield to make that tackle for Napoleon. And that's Josh Adams again.
Yeah, Josh Adams. That was a great tackle. Good pursuit there as Varela was trying to take off what appeared with blockers.
Yeah.
Adams wasn't having any of that.
Looked a little sneaky. We do have a score update from Lumen Christie. The Titans lead the Panthers 7-0 with 11:01 to go in the second quarter. 7.5 to go here for us in our first half. Ticking it down. Fourth down and about four, and it looks like the EJ offense is going to stay on the field.
Kind of a dangerous call here. You don't want to reverse the field position that you just kind of gained, but...
And there's somebody jumping offside, so it worked out, the hard count. And that's going to move the chains for East Jackson. And I don't know if that's why they sent the team out there to try and entice someone to jump, but that's what happened, and East Jackson drive stays alive. Nose of the football on the 50-yard line. And EJ with another first down. Drive of the game stays alive here with 7:07 to go in the first half. Stay tuned with us for halftime report action with Collins Brothers floor covering.
I'm going to give that one to Coach Punches. I think that was definitely one that was called for. Try to draw them.
Four wide for Varela now. Hands off to Brown. No, keeps. QB keep, and he's gonna draw that one up to about the 45. Moving the football into Pirate territory. Fooled me on the handoff at first, and it looks like it fooled the Pirates too.
I always like a play that fools me, and that had me fooled too. I thought they were taking him down for a loss, and
And what they've done with this consistent running and handing off to Brown is now that makes that QB option a better play. And one of these players are going to go play action and pass and have a chance for a really big play. Varela back to pass. No play action, but he did have a receiver up the middle briefly, but he had a couple defenders. He split the defenders, but beyond the outstretched hands of the intended receiver on the play, Jeremiah Allen.
Yeah, Tyler Owen for Napoleon did a good job sniffing that out, and he was right there on the coverage.
Yeah, the safety help made that a difficult pass, and to Varela's credit, he kind of made it, put it where no one could get it. Unless his receiver was the guy who got it. But that would have been a heck of a play.
That play call was exactly what you had mentioned. I feel like you must be stealing signals.
He didn't really play action. I would have liked to see them, do kind of a play action boot or something out of that and just freeze those D-backs for just a moment. And this cat, he kind of tried play action, but it... He play action fake to the left. The runner went to the right. Still had an open receiver. Just threw it a little bit high. Incomplete, and that'll bring up another fourth down for the Trojans.
Yeah, I'm not sure the play action to nobody is what they were looking for, but that's what we saw. So.
6:20 to go first half. Still scoreless here at Napoleon High School. And, there's a lot of excitement in big touchdown plays and runs and stuff like that, but a good defensive battle, back and forth field position game is pretty entertaining to watch when you really enjoy football.
Another big fourth down play here.
And they spread it out again. Brown in the backfield. Barella out of the shotgun. Looking to send a receiver, receiver in motion. Goes across and now back to pass. Getting chased. We got a flag. Varela's going to get sacked for a 9-yard loss. And I got to imagine the flag's going to be a hold or a false start.
Man, Trevin Eggleston came through that line like he was unblocked to take down Varela.
And the official does move it back. That's going to go against EJ, but it's declined. And Pirates will take over in East Jackson territory. Right at the 46.5-yard line. 6:12 to go first half. Pirates, good field position. Kibble 5.3 Football Frenzy. $1,053 this year, the prize for coming out to the tailgate. So we look forward to seeing you next week at Western High School if you didn't make it out today. We get a timeout from the Pirate sideline. We'll take a timeout ourselves. 1 minute break, and we're back with more football on Kibble 5.3.
It's Jackson's only live coverage of high school football right here on K105.3.
Out of the shotgun, out of the timeout, and Tobin McCrum hooks up with his favorite target on that one, Tyler Owen, for about a 15-yard gain. And it was just a quick pass. Brian, I think he saw what I was looking at earlier. When they spread it out like that, that slot receiver is kind of going, not uncovered, somebody's watching him, but he's got about 10 yards of cushion.
They are giving big cushions, and I think they're thinking that Napoleon's just going to run, but... Now Napoleon's going back to what we saw last week.
Mm-hmm. And they felt like they could exploit that weakness. And now we get kind of a switch here. But they are watching him a little more closely. McCrum, time to pass now. Throws downfield, all wide open. Trying to break a tackle, dragging the receiver down to about the... defender down to about the 5-yard line. Is Kill Fairbanks on the reception.
McCrum did a great job stepping up into the pocket and keeping his eyes downfield and spotting his receiver. That was great high school quarterbacking play right there.
Yeah, and you could tell there was a little momentary, should I run it? And he said, no, I've got that guy. And so, like you said, keeping the eyes on the field. And what would have been maybe a 6-yard run was a 20-yard pass play, first and goal for the Pirates with 4 wideouts. McCrum running to his right, looking to pitch it out, gets it to Schneider, and he's hit. Big tackle back to the 9-yard line, about a 4-yard loss, and a name we've been calling all night so far, Jeremiah Allen on the defense.
Yeah, that was a nice tackle. First time down for either team to be even in the red zone, I believe.
Yeah, the first time anyone's had a shot at making a touchdown play here. Put it back on the 9-yard line, second and goal from there for Napoleon. A couple nice pass plays. And the previous play, you had Fairbanks kind of going up the seam a little bit and just, like, finding some daylight, and McCrum was able to see that also. Good play there. Now McCrum on the after the pitch play, he took a little bit of a hit there. Standing on the 14-yard line, waiting for the shotgun snap with four wideouts. Back to throw this time. He's got penetration from the Trojan defense. And a team effort there. First contact, though, in the backfield, Aaron Flack. Slowed him down enough, and McCrum went down. And now, from a first and goal from the 5, you got third down and goal from the 21. Make it to 22.
Yeah, you know, this might be a case where the last year's all-conference kicker, Jaden Balnick, might be coming in, and who knows, we might be looking at a 3-0 game.
Yeah.
At the end of the game.
With 3:55 to go first half, it's a third and long trip to the end zone here for Napoleon. McCrum back to pass. Little time, steps up, makes the throw to the end zone, and just off the hands. McCrum put it right where it needed to be, and he just couldn't pull it in, and that is Tyler Owen intended on the play. Fourth down and 22, and yeah, it looks like the kicker's coming in.
Yeah, you could hear the collective gasp from the Napoleon fans that are right under us when that goes off his hands. That was six. Nice pass.
Yeah, McCrum really did put it on the spot. Led him just perfectly in stride. Only he was going to get it, no one else, but no one ended up with it. Kicking now from the ball on the 28, blocked! Knocked down the kicker, and Napoleon will recover back at the 38.
Was that Gavin Bell for East Jackson, 13, that blocked that kick?
I believe it was. And that's the spotters agree. Yep. So with 3:33 to go, we'll change possession again. And this time it's East Jackson football. Pretty good field position to start here from about the 36.
From our vantage point, it was kind of hard to tell if that was a just kind of bobbled hold or a low snap. I couldn't really tell, but it definitely wasn't clean. It didn't give Jaden a chance.
He had to delay a little bit.
Yep.
Still tried to get his foot into it, but couldn't kick it right through that guy's body. So the Trojans on the field now with 3:33 to go. We're still scoreless here at Napoleon. Trojans will look to drive here. And now Varela on an option, keeps it, still on his feet, still dragging defenders. He's going to get to about the 41-yard line before the officials will blow the whistle on that, but Varela violently staying on his feet and running through defenders, willing the Trojans to a 6-yard gain on that play.
Yeah, from here it doesn't look like Varela is all that huge of a man,
no.
But boy, he was carrying Napoleon players.
Yeah, staying on his feet on guts alone.
I'm also told Varela has some of the nicest locks of hair in the conference. That's coming right from Coach Punches, too. Just beautiful hair, flowing.
Conference, all conference hair. Varela taking the snap now with four wideouts. Gives to Brown. Looks to go right. Matt in the backfield. Stays on his feet. Gets to the outside. Gets to the edge. Dragging guys. Gets the first down. He's at midfield and pushed out of bounds. We'll get a flag in late in the play. I don't know if that's going to be contact out of bounds or what, but Brown again hit in the backfield. Eludes that tackler. Stays on his feet and second effort. Gets him to midfield. Put it on the 49 right now. And we'll see what that flag represents. Could be a little extra yardage at the end of the play for the Trojans.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's a
horse collar.
Yeah. It looked like he was doing anything he could to bring down Brown as he was determined to keep churning.
And that's, so that's a big gain there at the end of the play for East Jackson. So 2:33 to go. East Jackson going to have their first scoring chance. It looks like the football set down just beyond the 35-yard line in Napoleon territory.
I think if your coach punches here, you got to just keep giving the ball to Brown and make Napoleon stop him at the moment. Running hard, that young man.
He's in there right now with Varela taking the snap. Varela's going to keep. And I think that was kind of a read option, and he read that quickly to say, I better keep it. Jumped over the line. He'll get about a yard. Second down and nine from the 34-yard line. With 2:18 to go, time ticking off the clock.
Unfortunately for Varela, I think Cody Fry also read that.
Yeah. Quick play in from the sideline. No huddle here for East Jackson. Varela with four wideouts. Brown still in the game in the backfield. Michael Brown, a junior running back for East Jackson. Varela takes the snap, and the give is to Brown. Slams into the line. And staying on his feet, they will pull him down. He's only going to get about a yard or two. Just kind of ran into the pile on that one.
Yeah, I think Eggleston was the first one there, and again, just holding him up and letting his teammates come clean it up.
Yeah, they give him about a football length on the carry. Third down and nine now for East Jackson with 1:24 to go first quarter.
So far, neither team having much success trying to go right up the middle.
Varela with the snap. And gives to Brown, this time off tackle. Finds a little running room there, but they swallow him up pretty quickly. He'll be close to the 30. They'll make it fourth down and about six for East Jackson. I imagine you'll see the offense stay on the field. The best scoring chance still here, but only 50 seconds remain here in the half. I think you feel like you can go for it. You run the clock down a little bit. And hope that East Jackson won't have a shot to take it all the way upfield in whatever time they might have left if they're unsuccessful on this fourth down play, which they're going to have under 30 seconds as Varela takes the snap. He's looking to pass. A little pressure. And he's going to throw it away. Intercepted. And Napoleon will take over at the 25-yard line.
Now that was a nice pick there by Tyler Owen. And I think given the choice, do I want to pick that one off or catch that last touchdown, I think he would have switched there. But
and it's going to go in the books as an interception. Varela just kind of had to choose between taking a sack or throwing that jump ball up, and I think it was almost like a punt.
Yeah, that always drives me crazy when quarterbacks just eat that. It's fourth down, why not throw it? Because, you know, worst thing happens is what just happened. They pick it off and you gain some yards. So.
Yeah, you could end up with a pick six, but yeah. more likely than not, and at that point in traffic, it's just an interception and like you said, almost a punt. You just get a little better field position for your defense. With 20 seconds, McCrum keeps. They get about two on the carry. And we get a flag coming at the end of the play. I don't know what that could be for.
Yeah, I'm guessing Coach Shell is just content to just head into the locker room here tied at zero.
Official giving us a signal. Horse collar on that play. So we get one on the previous drive for East Jackson. Now they'll give one to Napoleon and move the football up for him a little bit. If your coach punches, you're not happy about that. You don't want to give him any extra yards with 14 seconds to go in the half. Stay tuned at halftime. We'll have the Collins Brothers floor covering halftime report. We'll get you any scores we can get you from around the area. We'll look back at the first half of action and set you up for the second half. We have the MHSAA's This Week in High School Sports segment. So stay tuned with us. Back to pass, McCrum. Stepping up, throwing downfield. And it's a foot race to the football. And he had a shot at it. Pretty good throwing ball. And the receiver will go unnamed because we don't have the correct number here?
I think that was Cody Fry, and I think that was Jeremiah Allen just hand-fighting a little bit there with 7 seconds to go.
Good matchup between a solid offensive receiver and a fantastic defender here for East Jackson. Allen's been everywhere today.
And again, here with 7 seconds, I'd like to see Coach Shell go ahead and let McCrum let one loose again.
Yep, if his line can give him a little bit of time, the receivers have proven they can get downfield pretty quick. He'll pump fake, looking to step up and throw. Now he's going to pull it down and run. Dodges one tackler, now dodges another. McCrum's still on his feet, and they'll pull him down inbounds, and time's going to run out on the first half. So 0-0 our score at the half here at Napoleon High School. Teams will head to the locker room or the bus or wherever they're going to hang out for the next 20 minutes or so. Nothing. What do you think, Brian? Is that what you expected to see?
I guess coming in here, that's not exactly what I was expecting. I was expecting to see, you know, we talk about East Jackson. I was expecting to see just a tough effort, and from Napoleon.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess watching Napoleon last week and watching McCrum slinging it around, I figured he might have a little more time this week and we might see a little fireworks. So 0-0 wasn't exactly what I was expecting. But
right, plus with the numbers that we heard from East Jackson, yeah, a week ago also, we thought that was going to be a little more high-powered. I think we're looking for both offenses to be a little more prolific. In this case, the defense has held up pretty well. So with nothing here at the half for Collins Brothers floor covering, let's take a 3-minute break, and we'll come back and look at the stats, catch any scores we can from out of town for Tri-County Water, and get ready for the second half. Nothing. 3-minute break on K105.3.
High school football on K105.3. It's the Halftime Report. Now, back to the press box.
Steve Boyle, Brian Haynes at Napoleon High School. We're tied at 0 after a half of football. Some of the out-of-town scores here for Tri-County Water, and we had some surprising scores, actually, for us. Penfield scored in Leeds Northwest 8-6. In that one, not sure how much time is left. At the half, Lumen Christi and Western are tied at 7. Now, I didn't think it would be a blowout along the lines that Lumen Christi usually does, but to be tied at the half is really got me excited about. I hope we get done before them and I can tune in to hear the end of that game with GOC and Red. And also, Michigan Centers.
Yeah, got a little report from one of the fans over there telling me it was 6-0 Hanover with little time to go in the half. So
as you mentioned, that's going to be, if they fail to get into the end zone or even a field goal before the half, that's what, 6 quarters of scoreless football for the Cardinals to start the year.
Yeah, that's kind of uncharted territory for the Cardinals, who have had some great offenses here in the last many years. So,
but at the game here, the offenses have failed to get into the end zone as well, Brian, and it's not necessarily about the ineptitude of the offenses. It's been good defensive performances. A couple players worth noting: Jeremiah Allen for East Jackson. He must have a half a dozen tackles in the first half. Meanwhile, for Napoleon, you have Tyler Owen, who had the interception there. Cody Fry making his name on the defense. And, of course, Kale Fairbanks has made a couple plays, too.
Yeah, Josh Adams and Travin Eggleston. You know, we've said some of the same names over and over for Napoleon. So,
yeah, so defensive battle here at the half for Collins Brothers floor covering. Let's take a 2-minute break, and then we'll bring you the MHSAA This Week in High School Sports segment, and then we'll come back to set things up for the second half of football. Again, 0-0, our score in the football frenzy. East Jackson Napoleon scoreless so far.
K105.3 presents high school football. That will conclude the halftime report. It's now time for the second half on Jackson's Hit Music, K105.3.
Steve Boyle, Brian Haynes, halftime coming to a close here momentarily. Thank you to Collins Brothers Floor Covering. Just so much good stuff happening in flooring these days, Brian. I see a lot of like waterproof flooring that it looks like a natural wood, but it's waterproof.
It's an exciting time to be in flooring,
I
Steve.
Think flooring is where it's at these days.
Yeah.
I'm in the flooring market myself soon. When my wife gets into redoing the kitchen, I think that's the next step.
Ooh, well, that might be more exciting than some of the offense that we saw. I did the Napoleon Band, who did a great job at the halftime thing. I saw the trombone player get just inside the 25, and I think that's the second time somebody wearing a Napoleon outfit has been in there. So, a little slow if you like offense.
That's
great
true.
If you like defense.
It's an exciting game, and after 54-7 last week, it's nice to see something that's still in question here. After halftime, thanks to Collins Brothers Floor Covering and a nice segue there from flooring to football. Out-of-town scoreboard here for Tri-County Water really quick. Jonesville 36-0 lead over Concord. Columbia Central 20-0 right now over Leslie. I think that's going to be a theme for Concord or for Columbia at some point. Michigan Center now trailing Hanover Horton 12-7. But Cardinals on the board.
Yeah, that's at the half. So.
And again, our last check in, Lumen Christian Western were tied at 7 at the half in their game. They're right about kind of on same pace we are right now, it looks like. 12 minutes on the clock. East Jackson will get the football to start the second half. It's teed up, and we have Brown and Jace Poole back to return for the Trojans, and it's a squib kick picked up at about the 46-yard line by East Jackson, and they'll get good field position.
Wow, little offside, little onside kick kind of to start the half, which, you know, again, easy for us to say since they didn't recover it, but now you're giving East Jackson great field position in a field position game.
Yeah, they do kind of just get to start here right near midfield. And after a couple of drives there late in the half where East Jackson had gotten a little bit of momentum going, I wouldn't be so eager to give them a short field to work with. Four wide for Varela out of the huddle. Brown back to handle running duties, and he'll take the handoff on first down. Slides through the line. Gets over midfield, gets down to about the 47 on first down. We get a flag coming in late in the play, maybe a little extracurricular activity on the field. Not sure what we're going to get that call. I put it about the 48-yard line for the spot. Face mask against Napoleon, so East Jackson will get some extra stuff added on to the end of the play. And just like that, the Trojans are in Napoleon territory with a fresh set of downs from the 42-yard line.
You know, Steve, you talked about East Jackson kind of getting it going there kind of late in the first half, and a lot of that was with the legs of Brown. And maybe you don't want to get too cute and just go ahead and keep feeding Brown again. I mean, he seems to be getting 5-6 yards a game, carry.
Sure, and maybe he breaks one big, or if you catch the defense start to cheat on that, that's when you can burn them deep. Varela will give to Johnson, or Brown this time, left side, cuts back in, and he's going to get about 5 on the carry, and he's done a great job of, like, eluding that first would-be tackler, and then finding a little space after that. So he gets down to the 39-yard line. Second down, about 5.
Several carries for Brown where it's not just one tackler. There's 4 or 5 guys hanging on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's been dragging guys. You can see the desire in the run for both him and Varela when he's kept it. Just not a couple guys who I would say are big monsters out there, but just hard-nosed. And I like this formation that they use with 4 wide, and now we're going to get a flag against the Trojans, it looks like, for a procedure penalty, legal shift or something. Oh, timeout.
Steve, I think we're going to see a score here soon.
You predicting?
I have that feeling.
The feeling exists.
Yep.
So we get timeout. Let's take a 30-second break, and we'll come back and pick it up with second down for East Jackson on
K105.3. Now back to high school football on Jackson's hit music, K105.3.
Boyle Brian Haynes out of the timeout. Nothing comes of the flag. Maybe that was just to notify that the timeout call had happened. It was second down about five for East Jackson from the Napoleon 39. Three wide, two in the backfield with Varela, and kind of a QB option now. He's rolling out. It's just a run, and he's got the first down marker. He takes a tremendous wallop as he gets past that stick, but it's going to get him a first down. There is a flag behind the play, and I wonder what that could be other than a hold. He was running that sweeping to the right, and it'll be a holding penalty, and that's going to go against East Jackson. So bring it back after a first down. They'll lose some yards from the spot of the foul. Thank you to Trips Auto Shop and Collision Center for joining us on the broadcast tonight, and Trips Ceramic Pro. Excel Staffing on our game today as well. Catch them at the Community Career Fair coming up on the 17th. Learn more about that at K1053.com.
You know, penalties are always going to play a big part, but in a game like this, I think they loom even larger because, again, we keep saying over and over, field position, but those,
sure.
Those, you know, now instead of a first down at the, 32, we're back at midfield again at second down. So
yeah, second down about 18, and you go from being quite a ways into Pirate territory. Now you're back in your own side of the field. If you're East Jackson, that's just an absolute momentum killer. You can get it back here with a nice play. They give it to Brown. He jumps up into the hole. That's plugged up, and this time his attempt to find a second running route is snuffed out, and he's going to get back to now make it third and about 20 for the Trojans from their own 46-yard line.
Yeah.
Hey, shout out to your wife's, what are they doing, scrapbooking, playing marbles or something?
Scrapbooking, marbling, but they are listening to us.
Yeah, listen to the broadcast.
They're football fans.
Yeah,
they're Steve Boyle fans is what they are.
I can't imagine that's the case.
Oh, you're underestimating.
Well, it's that kind of thinking that keeps me humble, I guess, and makes me that much more lovable. I'm probably the most humble guy I know.
You're a Hall of Famer.
I might be the most humble guy ever. Third and 20, play action. Varela, little time, now he has to run away. He's got some room to run. We get a flag late in the run. He's going to get about 18 before he goes out of bounds. The flag comes in where I'd expect it to be a hold or a block in the back. So that's going to hurt that, but a good 15, 16 yards for Varela on the run, the scramble.
It was a great run, and I'm sure he's right now a bit winded and saying, come on, guys.
And another hold against the Trojans and push them back even further. And this field position game where every yard seems to matter and where the football is going to end up with 9:35 to go in the third quarter. We're still scoreless. And East Jackson has moved it back to now it's going to be third down. And let's see, 10, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 yards, third and 30.
Sure, Coach Punches has a play in the playbook for this.
It's your third and 30 play.
It's your third and 30.
Just close your eyes and throw it really far.
Hey, again, you know, launch it out there. They pick it off. It's as good as a punt, like you said earlier.
If you've got tacklers nearby.
A lot of laundry on the field this half. Penalty after penalty. Looks like my daughter's floor in her bedroom.
She must wear a lot of yellow. Five wide for Varela. Empty backfield. Brown goes in motion. He gives it to him on the sweep. Gets to the edge, but he's not going to find much running room. Does drag a guy a couple yards. So it'll be fourth down and 24. And the East Jackson punting unit will look to make something happen here. At this point, a solid punt would be to get to the original first down marker.
Yeah, you know, we talk about what's the big plays of the game, and so far, big plays of the game have just been special teams. A blocked field goal, a couple good punts that have switched sides of the field, and here we go. Here's another play.
And that is Poole back to punt. with Owen back to receive the punt. I think Schneider was handling punt return duties so far in the game, but they'll go with Owen. Snap is good. Punt is up, and it's solid. He's going to have a chance to field that at 30. First tackle there. Great play on special teams. And they make the stop in Napoleon football at their own 28-yard line.
Lehman with a great open field tackle. Looks like a fast fire hydrant.
Yeah, he's got to be about 4'8".
But, yeah, speedy. Runs a 4'8".
Yeah. Which 8:09 to go.
Which is kind of like yourself. You're about, what, 6'2", and run a 6'2"?
Your height matches your 40 time, and in that game I am not not a standout by any stretch. 8:09 to go, third quarter. McCrum out to pass on the first play. He's got a sack. Tries to throw it at the end of the play, and they're going to call him down, but he did try to throw it away there at the end of the play, and the East Jackson sideline would love to have had an intentional grounding call, but they're still going to take them back to a first and about 17.
Another nice tackle by Colby Panther. Colby Panther.
7:40 to go. Second down, make it about 18 here for the Pirates. They're huddled up on the field. Still scoreless. Now I'm really starting to feel like this could go down to the wire on a 0-0 overtime scenario. McCrum out of the shotgun. He's got four wideouts. And I think it's Schneider in the backfield with him. Good blocking to pick up the blitz. McCrum throws it out to the flat. Caught by Schneider there. He gets to the 30, maybe the 32 before he's wrestled out of bounds. Forward progress is going to give them a third down and about 7 yards.
Nice hustle there by big Carter Pelton, junior lineman. Starts both ways for East Jackson, who happened to be kind of my lineman spotlight. I got a chance to talk to Carter earlier and got some good insight, like a pregame meal, pizza.
See, and now, would you, if in your coaching career, would you encourage your students to eat pizza before a game?
That doesn't seem like the choice I'd make.
Right.
But, hey, when you're a lineman, you go eat some pizza. Eat some pizza, get greased up a little bit.
Get greased up a little bit.
Bosworth used to do that, eat greasy food, and then he'd tackle somebody and throw up in their face mask. He's just pulling some Bos.
A Bos reference tonight. I'm pleased. Four wide from McCrum, rolling out to his right. On the run, he throws up the sideline. It's tipped. Knocked out of bounds. That's a near pickoff. Great job to get the passing lane for Andrew Trepka. Yep. I went to high school with Andrew Trepka. It's not the same kid, I'm guessing. I don't think he'd have any eligibility left.
He really had to struggle with biology to still be there. Popular at the prom, though, I bet.
Yeah. Let's go 4th and 8 here for Napoleon, and the punt unit comes out, so East Jackson's defense able to stand up, and we stay at this 0-0 stalemate with 6:04 to go, third quarter. And that's a punt that's not going to net too much yardage. They've got the official standing on the Napoleon 48-yard line, so decent field position to start here for East Jackson. And again, this is about the third drive in a row where it felt like they had a little momentum going, and then a penalty just kills that. So if they can keep their heads, right, avoid the hold, penalties, and whatever other stuff might sneak in there, a chance to get some points on the board. Brown has just been a force out there in the field when they're able to find him some room. I think I go first down right now, play action. Throw something deep.
Yeah, they're definitely expecting another Brown handoff. I like it, Steve.
6 minutes exactly on the third quarter clock here at Napoleon High School, 0-0. At last check-in, Lumen Christi and Western tied at 7 apiece. Michigan Center trailing Hanover Horton 12-7 as we take a look at the Tri-County Water out-of-town scoreboard. It's a QB keeper on first down for Varela. He'll get about 2 yards off tackle. Flag comes in from the opposite sideline. And maybe an offside or procedure penalty, but it came in pretty quick, but it could be a hold also.
I feel like you might wake up tonight just dreaming, saying, flag comes in, flag comes in. There's a lot of flag comes in from you today, but it's accurate.
That's going to be a illegal procedure against East Jackson. And they'll penalty declined. Second down and nine.
The whole coaching staff over at East Jackson does have to start getting a little frustrated over this. I think they're, you know, they're gaining some yardage, as you said, and then the penalties are just killing the momentum.
Varela shotgun, four wide. Brown is the back. Pistol behind Varela. Handoff goes to Brown. He finds a little room initially, and then he's picked up off his feet. Big tackle there. Kale Fairbanks making the stick. And third down now, and about seven. So Brown did sneak 2.5 yards in there.
Kale's tackle looked like something out of WWF. Is that dating me?
I don't think you're even allowed. Now we owe the World Wildlife Federation $30 or something.
You take that out of my paycheck.
You got it. We could be getting paid for this.
I am.
5 minutes, 12 seconds in the third quarter clock here. Big third down play for the Trojans with four wide. Brown stays in to block. Varela had a moment to throw, caught the receiver. Throw was a little low, and he went down on his shoelaces. Couldn't quite pick it up. Traylon Lehman, the intended receiver on the play, incomplete. Make it fourth down and seven for the Trojans.
So what do you think? Are they going to punt this? Or are they?
The punter's out on the field, unless you're looking for a fake. I think they punted. I think they, right now, I think they're going, maybe we can trap them down, you know, inside the 10. And let the defense see if they can get a stop here. Just get that field, like, just play the field position possibility, and maybe you get them to make a mistake in their own, deep in their own territory. There's the snap. It's a little high, but he pulls it in, gets the punt away with defenders in his face, and we're going to get a roughing the kicker, I think, as that dies at about the 27-yard line, but they ran into the kicker at the end of the play, and I think East Jackson's going to keep this football.
Well, this will be big if it's running into the kicker or roughing the kicker. We'll see. It's running into the kicker. That'll only be 5 yards, but then I would expect Coach Punches to maybe go for it at that time. But.
Exactly. And I think it is the five-yard variety. He didn't signal the personal foul.
Yeah. So now I'll go ahead and ask you again. Now if your Coach Punches and you have fourth and one or maybe two, now do you go for it?
I'd send them out and with a play. They got about 2 yards to make the sticks. I run a play.
They caught him on a hard count earlier in the first half in this kind of similar situation. Maybe that's what they'll be trying again.
4:57 to go here, third quarter. Fourth down, 2 yards. Brown in the backfield, Varela. Shotgun with four wide receivers. And there's the snap. Varela fakes the run, keeps. He's got the first down, and then a little more. He's going to get inside the 30 to about the 32, or excuse me, the 28. And that was the right play call. The defense was looking for Brown, and Varela faked it, bootlegged out to the left side, and found all the daylight he needed to move the sticks and get East Jackson first down.
Boy, you're right. That was a great play call. There had to be seven Pirates in there thinking Brown was going to, and Varela bootlegs out and gets it easily.
So Varela, again, same formation they've been using, but it looks like three wide receivers to the right this time for Varela. Brown in the backfield. And Brown will, no, Varela keeps it again. This time, the defense was wise. He might have snuck his way to about a yard, but the Pirates were ready for the keep.
Cody Vincent in on the tackle, leading that way. You know, we talk about lack of offense maybe not seeming exciting, but the one thing that is exciting about this, you feel like one big play, and you know, you're at the edge of your seat waiting for something to happen.
So it is second down and 9 yards here for East Jackson. A little bit of a mist out on the field right now, Brian, so there's a little moisture. Could be a difficulty in handling the football for some of these runners. This time Brown takes the give off tackle. And again, probably should have lost a yard on the play. Continues to battle. Makes his way up to about a 5 yard gain. A flag comes in at the end of the play.
Not only did it come in, it kind of came in with some anger.
It's like he threw it at the kid.
He did. He's like, guys.
Horse collar tackle at the end of the play. We heard that on the halftime segment there with MHSAA. It's a 15-yard penalty, and East Jackson's going to be in the red zone here with 3:38 to go in the third quarter. This is going to give them a pretty good chance to put some points on the board.
As I was saying, in a game like this, it just every play seems so huge now, especially these red zone plays.
Yeah.
You cannot get penalties and go backwards here if you're East Jackson.
Oh, exactly. And you know that horse collar tackled a couple times has been called against Napoleon is Brown refusing to go down on a play, and they're trying to get him down by any means necessary, and the horse collar just kind of happens. Shotgun and a give to Brown. And this time he's going to battle a Pirates crew. And they're going to stop him for about a 1 yard gain. Another out of town scoreboard update from Lumen Christi. The Titans have taken a 14-7 lead in the third quarter. Lumen Christi leads Western 14-7 for Tri-County Water. And we'll try to get a Michigan Center update here. We got the booth crew from Napoleon here trying to get some of those out-of-town score updates. So we'll get them as we can. With second down and about nine, four wide for Varela. And they got that marked on about the nine-yard line. So he gives to Brown. No, he keeps Varela to the outside. He's got a foot race, turns it upfield. Hit and falls forward. He's going to get to about the four-yard line, maybe even the three, depending on the spot. So with third down and goal.
I tell you what, Tobin McCrum saved a touchdown there. There was a blocker out there. Tobin did a great job shedding him and pulling him down there at the four. I thought he was going to walk in.
So Coach Punches will have to go into his bag of tricks. It looks like they can get a first down. Is that?
Yeah, it looks like at the two.
At about the two, yeah. They come out of the huddle, and again, there's two backs there on either side, just about a step behind Varela, who's in a shotgun. Three wide receivers. Different look for the formation, but it goes to Brown, and he slashes through into the end zone. Touchdown! Michael Brown and the East Jackson Trojans are on the scoreboard, 6-0. No flags coming in on the play.
I was just going to say, I'm looking around.
You got to make sure. Halftime, Grass Lake Vandercook Lake game 41-0. Grass Lake. That is a high-powered Grass Lake offense out there. Randy Cole's really got his guys hitting on all cylinders. And I spent some time with him this summer, and he really slow played. He really downplayed what they're capable of this year. He's always kind of a little bit, we're gonna be all right.
That's good coaching.
Yeah.
You'll keep your job in case things don't go well.
Keeping his expectations realistic while hoping for the best. Two-point conversion attempt, and they go to Brown, and he sheds a couple of tackles. And we get about 8 out of the 11 Pirates on the field taking him down. But 6-0, East Jackson scores first. With 1:48 to go in the third quarter, we'll take a 30-second break and switch ends. And the Pirates will try to score on the K105.3 Football Frenzy.
We now return to high school football on K105.3.
Steve Boyle, Brian Haynes, quick look at the Tri-County Water out-of-town scoreboard. It's still a 12-7 score. Hanover Horton leads Michigan Center with 10 to go in the third. Keeping those Tri-County Water scoreboard updates coming. And East Jackson here leading 6-0. And it was a penalty that helped them on that drive, actually. The 15-yard horse collar got him into the red zone, and Michael Brown did the rest. That guy has been a tough runner, getting those tough extra yards at the end of the play, and that's really made a difference for East Jackson. So a team that's on an 18-game, or excuse me, a 17-game losing streak, trying to keep it from becoming 18, now has a 6-0 lead.
My research staff has told me it was September 18th of 2017, the last time East Jackson had a lead going into the fourth. So this is big for these kids in the community.
Who's this research guy? Do we have to pay him? Kickoff by the Trojans, bounces and picked up at the 26. And room to run. Tyler Owen with some daylight. The official bites the dust on the sideline. A lot happening on the play. Owen brought down at about the 49-yard line. First and 10 for the Pirates from there.
Yeah, Gavin Bell does not make that tackle for East Jackson. We're going to be looking at a tie game.
And for a moment, I didn't see a single Trojan in front of him. So good pursuit by the special teams. 1:41 to go. And look, they put that football right on the 50, right on the nose of the football on the 50. If this side's the nose, what's the other side? four wideouts, for Tobin McCrum out of the shotgun. It looks like it's Cale Fairbanks in the backfield with him this time. And the give is to Fairbanks, and he bursts through the middle for about 8 yards, maybe 9. On the first down carry into Trojan territory. And Napoleon's run it so infrequently on a play like that that East Jackson, I don't think they were even thinking about it as an option.
Yeah, Fairbanks kind of doing his best Michael Brown impersonation there, just carrying some Trojan tacklers with him. Now, he is a big kid.
Yeah, there's no question about it. McCrum and him sharing some comments here with four wide shotgun formation. Fairbanks stays in the game as the running back fakes it to him. McCrum keeps, tries to get to the outside, turns it up. He's going to get the first down. Not much more, but they'll move the chains and get into the 38-yard line.
Nice block there by Tyler Owen to kind of spring McCrum for that first down. Steve, here's the offense we're looking for.
56 seconds left, 6-0. K105.3. Out of the shotgun. Hand off to Fairbanks again. And he's shedding tacklers. He gets inside the 35 to about the 33. And now the offenses feel unleashed, and it's the ground game that's doing it. When you would have expected maybe through the air for both of these teams, the ground game is making the difference.
Yeah, just some second half adjustments. Coaches kind of figuring out what they can do successful, and at the moment, it is running.
36 seconds in the third here, and Napoleon might score before those last few seconds tick off of this clock. Fairbanks has been the catalyst so far. Out of the shotgun to McCrum. There's the snap. It's a little high. McCrum pulls it down and runs immediately. He's not going to get to the first down marker. He's a couple yards shy, but they'll have third and about two. And that might run out our third quarter clock here. Napoleon with a little momentum going into the end of the quarter. 3-2-1. It ticks away. And it's 18-7. Hanover Horton leading Michigan Center right now. In our Tri-County Water out-of-town scoreboard. Let's take a break for 1 minute here and get ready for the fourth quarter here on Kim 105.3. 6-0 East Jackson, but Napoleon is driving.
Back to the game of the week. It's high school football on K105.3.
Third down, about 3 yards here for Napoleon. 12 minutes on the clock. They trail 6-0. McCrum takes the snap. Running to the left. He's hitting the backfield. He sheds the tacklers. He's going to dive forward. I don't think he got to the marker. It's all going to depend on the spot. He slid the last yard or so. I think it's going to be a fourth down and short.
Yeah, Coach Shell, kind of surprising letting McCrum roll out there. Fairbanks has been kind of horsing his way through a couple yards. I look for him to get the ball here at fourth and short. But I'm sure East Jackson's looking for the same thing. McCrum kind of walking gingerly.
End of the third quarter, and Lumen Christi leads 14-7 over Western. One left to play over there on Spring Arbor Road. Shotgun for McCrum, fourth and short. And he'll give it to Fairbanks, and he'll dive into the line. I think he's got it. And looking for a signal from an official. Both teams are thinking they know the call. The spot is short of where I thought it got to. And they're going to get a measurement on this one. Gosh, I thought that was I think that spot's short of where he got to.
Yeah, Napoleon player saying first down. East Jackson player saying no. I guess the men in the stripes will have the final say.
But they are going to call the chain gang out here.
That's a thankless job, too. Volunteers at the chain gang. Wish we knew their names to give them a little love.
Yeah. And they're saying he didn't get it. By about a yard. Again, he might have still been close, but I think that spot was a little short. Nevertheless, that's the official ruling. And East Jackson holding up on fourth down. And now a 6-0 lead with the football and 11:05 to go. East Jackson maybe starting to feel a little momentum, maybe starting to feel a little extra confidence. And I think you got Michael Brown. I think you'd like to hand it off to him and run these final 11:05 out and go home with a W.
Yeah, even just run some clock. Even if you can, again, flip the field. The East Jackson's D is playing so well. They're getting close to ending the drought.
Fourth quarter of our game, believe it or not, brought to you by East Jackson Community Schools. Together we thrive. And I think they're probably glad that on the game, the one game we'll see them this year, when the East Jackson fourth quarter came up, they were leading 6-0. And we'll see if that lead will hold up. It looks like we got a timeout on the field. Let's take a 30-second break on the broadcast. We'll come back first and 10 for the Trojans on their own 30-yard line at K105.3.
It's Jackson's only live coverage of high school football, right here on K105.3.
Steve Boyle, Brian Haynes, first and 10 for East Jackson from their own 30-yard line after fourth down stand to keep Napoleon from scoring. They had a little momentum at the end of the third quarter there. It was almost like the switching ends stole their thunder a little bit. So with three wideouts and two backs for Varela out of the shotgun, takes the snap, gives to Brown, looking to go to the left side, gets around the edge, turns it upfield, runs into some contact. He's going to get about 3 yards. But he makes you pay for stepping up to put a hit on him.
Yeah, you don't want to go in there. That's not for the faint of heart.
Yeah, he gives as good as he gets. What was that Michigan Center score that you had for me, Brian?
I'm getting a 25-7 with maybe 8 minutes to go. A few surprising scores tonight.
Yeah, they've been all over the area. 14-7 at last check, and Lumen still leading Western after three quarters. It's another exciting one here in the area. Some close games where that score is surprising, and then some blowouts where we're a little shocked, too. 10:16 to go here in our fourth quarter, brought to you by East Jackson Community Schools. The Trojans have the football with four wide, and Varela sees pressure immediately on the snap and wisely pulls it down and scrambles. And I think he gets it back to that field initial field position, maybe actually gained a yard. About third down and 7 for East Jackson.
Yes, the mist is kind of rolling in here, Steve. It's getting a little bit hard to even see some numbers, particularly from Napoleon with their jerseys. I think that was Cody Fry in on a tackle.
We do have a pretty heavy mist. It's never quite risen to the level of rain, but it has, I'm sure, made the field a little moist and slick, and you can kind of see it glistening under the lights.
It's kind of nice football weather, though.
It is.
Especially up here in the press box.
It's solid football weather for a 6-0 game late in the fourth quarter. Well, 9:24 left in the game. Varela rolling out, gets pressure there, turns it back upfield, gets hit, and he'll go down at about the 35. So he grabs about a half a yard on that third down play to bring a fourth down in a likely punt situation for East Jackson.
And that time I could clearly see that was Josh Adams with the takedown.
He's having a nice game for himself on the defensive side of the football. He'd love to get a little offense going here for the Pirates, trailing 6-0.
And boy, when you're an East Jackson player and fan and you're now less than 9 minutes away from ending this 17-game skid, things start getting a little tense.
Yeah, I can't imagine anybody is not on the edge of their seat across the way from us. A low punt, but it's going to hit and take an East Jackson bounce. And successfully shifting that field position around. That one rolls down to about the 33, where Napoleon will take over on their own half of the field with 8:32. We're right next to the EJ coaching staff, and you can see a little tension in their faces.
But good tension. And you know what? I'm sure these guys are happy that they are having this tension.
It's a good feeling to have. Trojan defense lines up. McCrum gets the play from the sideline, takes it to the huddle for the Pirates. First and 10 from their own 33-yard line. Four wideouts for McCrum out of the shotgun, spread it right out. It's Fairbanks in the backfield. They had a little success handing it off to him. With 8.5, you don't need to go for the big play right away. They need a sustained drive, but McCrum back to pass, throws an out route to Owen. It's caught. He's hit immediately and brought down, but he is going to get about 4 yards on the reception.
Hartley Marvin out there all by himself, who brings him down nicely.
Tri-County Water out-of-town scoreboard update. Lumen now leads Western 22-7. And the second down, give them 5 yards on that play, or at least 4.75. Second down. And McCrum back to throw again. Gets an open man downfield, and it's caught. Schneider out ahead of everyone to the 10, 5, touchdown Napoleon, wide open receiver, and McCrum didn't miss. He had time to wait, catch it, and turn and run, and he did it just right. Schneider goes the distance. Tyler Schneider for the touchdown, and we're tied at 6 apiece.
Oh, wow. I don't know if that was a blown coverage, but, boy, Schneider was out there all by himself.
About 62 yards on the play there.
Now what a big extra point here by all-conference kicker Jade Balnick.
And you like to give him, you like to give it in his favor to make this kick, but like I said, the field's going to be a little slick for planting that foot and making the kick. Snap is up, hold is down, kick is through the uprights, and 7-6 now. The Pirates take the lead with 7:44 to go in the fourth quarter. Let's take a one-minute break, and we're back with a kickoff on K105.3.
You're tuned in to high school football on Jackson's Hit Music, K105.3.
Steve Boyle, Brian Haynes, and 7-6 now. Napoleon with a one-point lead after a huge pass play here in the fourth quarter. Brought to you by East Jackson Community Schools. Together we thrive. Another Tri-County Water out-of-town scoreboard update. Jackson leads Adrian 40-6. Low rolling kick gets down to the inside the 20. Brown fumbles it for a minute. He's picked it up. Now he goes on the run to the left side. To the 45. Max, a tackler down. He's into Napoleon territory. 30, 20, 10. Brown adds it with a touchdown. Unbelievable. Just when East Jackson's momentum had been snatched away, Michael Brown comes through and just a Marshawn Lynch-esque powerful run. He knocked a guy down and never lost momentum. Unbelievable. As the rain starts falling, a little less mist, a little more rain right now. 7:27 to go, 12-7 now. East Jackson back in front.
What a run. As you said, there was at least two people that had shots at him, and he just discarded them as if to say, this will not be our 18th game in a row.
Now we'll see what East Jackson special teams can do. A 5-point lead doesn't do you much good. Six isn't a ton better. Do you go with a 2-point conversion?
Yeah, I think you have to here.
And Varela comes out four wide. Different runner behind him. Brown gets a break after a fantastic kick return. And they do hand it off. Battles through the line, and it looks like he got to the goal line. What's the ruling? Trojans player signaling that he's in, and they'll say no good. Gave it a good shot, but the touchdown is huge no matter what. East Jackson now back in front, 12-7. Let's take a 30-second break, and we'll get another kickoff when we come back on the K105.3 Football Frenzy.
Now back to high school football on Jackson's Hit Music, K105.3.
Steve Boyle, Brian Haynes, fourth quarter here, 7:27 to go, and 12-7 after going about 39 minutes of scoreless football. We've had three scores since then, and two of them happened there in the span of about 30 seconds.
You know, when Brown he kind of bobbled that kick, didn't feel it cleanly, and I've seen enough football to know that sometimes whether it's them just kind of lightening up or what happened, but all of a sudden just exploded through.
Explosive has been the way he's played all game, and now Napoleon come back the other way. A little bit of space to run, but he does actually step out of bounds. And we'll see where he's marking. The official's marking it at about the 46. In EJ territory, the field is now officially wet, and we can see some condensation kind of dripping off the edge here of the press box.
Well, hey, we said that special teams plays were going to come big. Now, we thought it might be punts and field position, but little did we know this was going to be these big returns happening.
So with 7:21 to go in the fourth quarter for East Jackson Community Schools, the Pirates with the football, first and 10 in EJ territory at about the 46-yard line. Four wide for McCrum. He had a 62-yard touchdown pass. He's looking to do it again in traffic. And they're going to get a pass interference penalty. But to me, it looked like good coverage. They had him bottled up. But that is going to be a pass interference penalty. I can't imagine what else they'd call.
Yeah, I guess that's bang bang, and that's easy for us to say. But boy, that looked like good coverage there.
Sometimes there's an arm in from the back that we can't see up here, yeah, but the official can see down on the field.
That's definitely one where when you're wearing a green shirt, you're like, hey, yeah, throw the flag, that's pass interference, yep. And you're wearing white, and you're like, oh, that's good coverage. So,
yeah, and again, I say from up here it didn't look like it, but from down there they might see something different, so I'm not mad about the call.
Yeah,
it's all part of the game, and that's something that can happen when you're a quarterback and you throw down into traffic.
You know, here's where the psyche of a high school athlete is. You're East Jackson. You've lost 17 in a row. You know, you're either excited and, hey, we can do this, or you're thinking, oh, no, here we go again
here
as
go,
Napoleon
yeah.
builds momentum. So I guess this is going to be what which side they decide to, what route they decide
or
to go.
Or how many players have one sort of feeling and how many have the other, you know.
Yeah.
Michael Brown clearly seemed to have the feeling that he wanted to go out and win this one. And now McCrum's got that same feeling and trying to do it through the air. He's back to pass again. Nobody's open. He's scrambling. Now he's looking downfield. He's got a man, and he missed him. Hard to tell if that was the throw or the receiver just kind of unable to react to the pass quickly enough. Intended on the play is Javen Toomey-Patterson. It's a sophomore out there.
Yeah, and he was open, but I tell you what, Jacob Buckland for East Jackson was really bearing down, and McCrum had to get rid of it.
Second down and 10, and I think if you're McCrum, you can kind of feel like he feels like he's got to do it all on one play. And you got still 7:06 to go, and you only need to go 30 yards here, so I think you should be thinking about a series of plays making this happen rather than going for it all on every play.
I'm not sure you want to get away from giving it to Fairbanks some, too.
Certainly with the wet field conditions, it might be a little safer. And they do give it to him on third down, and he's got room to run. He's got a shot at the end zone, and he's got the first down for sure. He gets down to the 11-yard line, first and 10 for East Jackson, or excuse me, for Napoleon in East Jackson territory. And they may have room for a first down, but I think they're thinking first and goal. Yeah, they do set it down on the 11, so first and 10 from the 11. but it was almost Nostradamus-esque of you to say, why not give it to Fairbanks? Yeah. It worked out. It's another case where, I don't know, that Napoleon sideline, I think they might have been listening to our broadcast last week, and they brought the radio again.
They've been told what they'd be missing out on if they hadn't.
First and 10, and hand off to Fairbanks again. This time not as much room to run, and Napoleon's defense hems him up. Flag comes out late in the play, so that's in the, maybe a face mask during the tackle, or one of those horse collars have been seen called so frequently tonight. Face mask penalty it is. That'll go against the Trojans, and they'll help Napoleon out.
Well, whatever offensive excitement we did not get in the first three quarters, they're making up for it right now.
Napoleon knocking on the door again. And they don't get a big distance on the call. Second down about 7. Put it at the 7-yard line.
So they called face mask there, didn't they, Steve?
Second down. I'm sorry, Brian, what did you say?
Go ahead and call this play.
Four wide, McCrum gives to Fairbanks. He dives into the line, and he's going to battle. He's going to get down to about the 5, and a pile of players falls over.
Looked like I was watching ESPN, the Ocho, and watching some Australian rules football or something. That might have been the first 22-man scrum I've seen.
They get third down and about 4 yards on the 5-yard line. So second down, forgive me, out of the shotgun, and McCrum keeps it. They had him. He slipped the tackler, gets up inside, so he gets about a yard. But that could have been a 3-yard loss, and he slipped the tackle and kept him there inside the 5-yard line for a third down and short. East Jackson defense so far holding up.
If Carter Pelton doesn't trip off McCrum there, he's definitely in for 6.
12-7 our score with 5:22 to go. East Jackson in the lead, but Napoleon inside the 5-yard line, third and short.
What do you think? We going to see Fairbanks here?
That would be the textbook play, but you also might maybe try a little play action. And a quick slant. McCrum keeps instead. They'll pull him down short of the goal line. Somebody dove in to stop him, but it could be, Brian, at a point where it might be a first down. So McCrum with a last effort there at the end of the play. Slid forward. So we'll look where they mark it. We might get a measurement.
Again,
and they are going to call the chain gang out.
Yeah, the Napoleon players again seem jubilant.
And it looks like it's a final over there on Spring Arbor Road. Lumen Christi 22, Western 7. So the Titans will remain unbeaten. Final score there, Lumen Christi 22-7. So they get the first down inside the 1-yard line. And 4 tries from there for Napoleon. Now if you're East Jackson, you start going, we're going to keep a little time on this clock if we have to go back down the field. 4:46 left in the fourth quarter. Brought to you by East Jackson Community Schools. Together we thrive. Trojan Nation.
And there's a reason Coach Shell's down there and I'm up here. But again, if I'm Coach Shell, I think this is 4 carries for Fairbanks.
I would honestly, they stay spread. I go with a big set and just try to power it in. They do give to Fairbanks, and he's going to run into the back of the line, and I don't think he got it. So the Pirate Power chant comes up from the cheerleaders. They need a power play here. Second down and goal from the goal line.
Now watching the East Jackson D sell out on that, I don't know if I'm allowed to do this, but I'm going to go ahead and change my mind, and I'm going to say, fake it to Fairbanks and let McCrum bootleg out of there. He might go in untouched.
3:52 left here in the fourth quarter. And no rush to get a playoff here by the Pirates. They recognize that at some point, if they score, the clock becomes their good friend. As the Trojan players try to excite the crowd, McCrum keeps it, but not a bootleg. Second effort, I think, might have gotten him in. And that's the signal. Touchdown, Pirates. The Trojan defense stood up for a moment. McCrum got a second effort and maybe a little extra push there by Fairbanks. Wow. And slid into the end zone. 13-12. Napoleon takes the lead at home against an East Jackson team that definitely came here to play tonight. 3:27 left. One-point game with extra point pending. Do you go for two here?
Well, and I don't know that East Jackson has a kicker that's a threat, but I guess, again, might as well go for two to go up by three is what's really the difference between, you know, yeah, one or two.
Right, if they can't kick, you win, yeah, by one instead of two.
Right. You know, let's give the Napoleon line, we talked about them last week being such a young line. The young line just grew up a little bit on that last.
Yeah, an experience,
plays.
Experience that they're going to keep in their back pocket and utilize throughout the season. And a big play right there. 13-12, Napoleon leads. McCrum back to pass, throws to the corner. He's got a man caught. Two-point conversion is good, and it is now 15-12 with 3:27 to go. Quick one-minute break, and we're back with the East Jackson possession on K105.3.
We now return to high school football on K105.3.
Steve Boyle, Brian Haynes, 3:27 to go. Last chance for the Trojans in our fourth quarter, brought to you by East Jackson Community Schools.
Tell you what, if I'm all conference kicker Jaden Balnick right now, I'd be finding Brown and not kicking it to him. Somebody else from East Jackson should be handling this.
He's back there deep in the middle of the field. 9:01 here on WKHM FM HD1 Brooklyn Jackson.
Wouldn't be surprised to get some kind of squib up the middle here.
Brown standing at about the 15-yard line. Balnick's kick is going to be a short one and fielded about the 41-yard line. Hands team Jacob Buckland making the catch. Sophomore doing the intelligent thing, keeping the possession for EJ with 3:27 to go.
Yeah, so here you're Napoleon. You don't want to give Brown another chance, but by doing that, short of kick now, what, East Jackson starting it off on the 41, short fielder.
And what we haven't seen from East Jackson is a big play on offense. We've seen a big special teams play, and we've seen a sustained drive, but they haven't had the big play yet.
And especially for Varela, who threw for 270 yards last week. I mean, we have just not seen signs of that, but maybe they were holding it for the last 3:27, Steve.
They go empty backfield right now. Brown is in the slot to the right of Varela. Now he goes in motion. The snap comes, Varela back to pass. He's looking for Brown out in the flat. Gets it to him, turns upfield, and he's hit. Bounces off a defender and spins his way to about the 50-yard line, maybe the 49 into Napoleon territory. It's going to depend on the spot. But creative play call to find Michael Brown open in space to make that catch and turn and run. And the way he bounced off that defender and came to hit him just made Brown go even faster.
Yeah. He's a bowling ball for sure.
Second down and one. Brown's in the backfield this time. Three wide receivers for Varela on the right. Takes the snap, gives to Brown. Up the middle. He's got the first down, staying on his feet and battling. He's over the 45 to about the 44 into Napoleon territory. Even deeper and moving the chains. 2:43 left here. And, of course, they stop the clock to move the chains. East Jackson, I think, still has their full complement of timeouts.
Yeah, I would not say the clock is yet to where you have to be scared. You have to play with a little pace, but nothing out of control.
Four wide pistol formation. Give us to Brown again. No, Varela keeps. fooled me, but didn't fool the Pirates. They'll stop him for a loss about 2 yards on the play. And maybe even more importantly, it keeps the clock running down to about 2:24. And it's going to be a second down and about 12.
And once again, Cody Fry with a nice open field tackle. You're not going to fool that kid.
And they've used the fake handoff to Brown to set up a bootleg run or some kind of a run for Varela, but I have yet to see them really use that to try and get a big play downfield. Maybe Varela's arm is not built for that. He's back to pass this time, and now he's going to run it out to the sideline. He's going to get a little bit of a gain and tackled out of bounds to stop the clock. We're under 2 minutes now at 1:49. 15-12. East Jackson trails. And that's going to be third down and about 8. Maybe a long 7.
Cody Fry showing some speed on that one. We've seen him make tackles in the middle. That was him chasing him all the way down to the sideline. Big third down coming here. They don't need to pick it all up, but they want to make this manageable.
Clock starts on the snap here. Trip receivers to the right for Varela. Brown in the backfield. Varela will go to pass again. Fakes the slant. Decides to hold it down and run. Now he goes back across field into the middle. And it's caught by one of the linemen, and he gets it on a deflection, so it's not illegal. Deflected into the hands of one of the big linemen.
James Osborne coming up with it.
I don't know that it did anything good for East Jackson other than we got to call out a lineman's name on the play.
Although instead of 4th and 8, we're looking at 4th and 4.5, 5 now. And James Osborne got his name said on the radio with a reception.
We had to get a timeout, though, for the Trojans. We'll take 30 seconds. Come back for the final 94 seconds on K105.3.
Back to the game of the week. It's high school football on K105.3.
Coming out of the timeout. Fourth down and about 4 to go here in the fourth quarter for East Jackson Community Schools. Together we thrive.
When you're an East Jackson player right now, 4th down and 4, your job is to win your matchup.
Yep.
You have 17 games streak on the line. Win your matchup. Make a play. Keep this drive alive.
It's one play right now, and you know you need 5 yards. They go to this different set where they get two backs in the backfield, and now we got a player running in from the sideline. And now we're getting a substitution, and that's going to be a flag. Personnel was wrong on the play. And that's a mistake that you just can't have at that point.
Yeah, especially coming out of a timeout. I don't know if that's miscommunication by the coaches or if a player just got the wrong memo or what happened there, but that was obvious that two guys were not on the same page. It erased the big game by James Osborne, too.
1:34 left on the clock. It's a 15-12 Napoleon lead at home. East Jackson with a 17-game losing streak on the line here. They'd love to cancel it tonight and celebrate big time over there at East Jackson High School.
Boy, what do you do right now if you're East Jackson? You let Varela?
You have to. And now we get another late substitution, or it's just a shift here. Switching sides for receivers. Trips left for Varela. Brown in the backfield. Takes the snap. Gives to Brown. Flea flicks it. Throwing downfield. Hit as he throws. It's up in the air. It's tipped. And it's falling incomplete. He had just a moment's gasp there for Jeremiah Allen to maybe grab that football. It was about 6 guys who all went up and had a shot at the football. And it hung in the air just long enough for Jeremiah Allen to have a shot at it. And it's just outside of the reach of his fingertips. Falls incomplete with a minute 25 to go.
Yeah, I think
Napoleon liked to seal this.
I think Jaden Balnick was able to knock that down at the last second, but when we asked what do you think would happen, I don't know if flea flicker was what you were thinking, but
and the, you know, they didn't sell the run that much.
Yeah.
And I don't think Napoleon cared if they ran it. I think they were fine with that. They just didn't want to get beat deep, and so the defensive backs were there. And who knows what happens if Varela's not hit when he throws it, though. Kind of set that a little off kilter, but the Trojan receivers gave it their best shot. So we get the victory formation now for the Pirates. First and 10. And McCrum will step back and kneel. Start the clock.
East Jackson out of timeouts at this point.
According to the clock, I think they have two. I think they're just not going to do it.
Okay. Well, the clock's running.
56 seconds.
It's kind of odd the clock's running. Napoleon's acting as if there's a timeout. East Jackson's still on the field.
45 seconds. Victory formation again. He'll kneel.
Boy, Steve, not that we do any rooting up here. We just like a good game.
And
but your heart does go out a little bit to the East Jackson kids who were so close to maybe putting that streak to an end.
And, you know, they lived up to our advanced billing. They never quit. They played really hard. It was an entertaining game, truly. While it was a defensive battle through three quarters and then the offense exchanging scores in the fourth quarter, entertaining the whole way through for us here in the booth. And, neither team should hang their head at all. East Jackson, I know they're going to because they really wanted the win. But really just a truly exciting game. And a well-played high school football tilt here in the Cascades Conference. But the final at Napoleon High School, the Pirates 15, the Trojans 12, and Napoleon moves to 1-1 on the season. EJ 0-2. Let's take 3 minutes here on the postgame. We'll come back and look at our stats. And we will set things up for our next broadcast. Again, our final 15-12. Napoleon victorious on the Kim 105.3 Football Friends.
Jackson's only live coverage of high school football, right here on K105.3.
Steve Boyle, Brian Haynes, final score here from Napoleon, 15-12. The Pirates top the East Jackson Trojans. Tri-County Water out-of-town scoreboard. Again, our final 22-7. Lumen Christi holds off a Western Panthers team. They gave them all they could handle tonight. Jackson at last checking a 46-6 lead on the road against Adrian. Columbia Central at last checking 32-2 lead over Leslie for the Golden Eagles to stay unbeaten. And shocking almost from Cascades, Hanover Horton at last checking 32-7 lead over Michigan Center.
That is a bit shocking.
Grass Lake shut out Vandercook Lake 48-0 in the battle of teams with Lake in their name. Northwest 21-8 win over BC Penfield, or at least a lead, at our last available check-in. And Addison actually topping Manchester tonight. And what was the score I had there? 30-17 at the end of three.
Wow. Also a little bit shocking.
Yeah. A little power shift in the Cascades Conference in process right now, though Grass Lake continues to be one of the top programs out there. Tonight, it was a back-and-forth game. Initially, it was field position for about 39 minutes. And then East Jackson was able to get into the end zone and kind of it just kind of opened up a can of worms, and all of a sudden it's 6-0 EJ. Napoleon's able to drive down there, able to get a big play score and make it 7-6. Ensuing kickoff, Michael Brown goes about 82 yards to the end zone and puts East Jackson back in front. And then the next possession, Napoleon runs a bunch of time off the clock and able to get a score. And then East Jackson comes up just shy in their last effort. It almost felt like if they had another minute, 2 minutes maybe, but it seemed like their offense was a little rushed, and they got into that fourth down they committed a penalty, so it went from a 4th-and-5 to a 4th-and-10, and I think that had to change the way that they viewed the play. And they have an incomplete pass at the end. Napoleon holds on for the win at home tonight.
Yeah, it was almost fitting that penalty happened at the end, because that was kind of a little microcosm of the whole game of just penalties shooting them in the foot. So, again, East Jackson, great effort. Close to ending the streak, but going to have to wait another week.
And that's a tough looking week too, because they'll be at home, but Grass Lake will be coming over to snacks at the Dome are going to be delicious, and we'll see what this East Jackson team has to do against a Grass Lake team that's been able to put up points quite a bit here early in the season. East Jackson, this is not East Jackson from a year ago or even 2 years ago that looks like they're maybe a bit of a doormat. These guys are going to make you earn a victory over them this year, and I predict that at some point they will. And that they'll end that losing streak at some point this season.
Yeah, and if Michael Brown has anything to say about it, I agree with you.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Napoleon 1-1 now on the season, unbeaten in the conference thus far. Their next game is here, and Manchester will be here. So that's going to be a game that Napoleon's going to look at and say, we're gonna have a shot at the Dutch this year, and we'd love to get a win over that program. Everybody in the Cascades Conference knows that when Manchester comes to town, you want to get a win. They're a tough opponent, and they've probably come in here and beaten Napoleon a few times that Napoleon would love to get revenge for.
Yeah, hearing some of these scores, I think the Cascades is going to be, you know, you might have Grass Lake kind of leading the way, but after that, I don't know that there's going to be any game where you're just going to say, yep, that's an easy win for somebody.
Right.
You're going to have to lace them up every night.
Yeah, something competitive happening week in and week out in the Cascades Conference. So we will take another 3-minute break. We'll come back and tell you our player of the game choice, and we will set things up for our next broadcast. Again, our final here from Napoleon High School, 15-12, the Pirates over the East Jackson Trojans on the K105.3 Football Frenzy.
You're tuned in to high school football on Jackson's Hit Music, K105.3.
Steve Boyle, Brian Haynes on the post game here. 15-12 win for Napoleon tonight. 12 points for East Jackson. If you get those extra points, it's an even closer ball game than what we had, but what we did have was an exciting tilt, and both teams should be proud of the way they played tonight, except for perhaps some of the mental mistakes. As we mentioned, Napoleon will play here at home against Manchester next Friday night, and East Jackson will be at home with Grass Lake. Our next broadcast is going to be on Friday, and we head over to Western High School for another great rivalry game, Northwest versus Western.
Ooh.
The Mounties and the Panthers. So there's bad blood between those two teams. They don't like one another. It's going to be fun.
I'm looking forward to being right in the middle of it and even stirring the pot.
You're stirring the pot all week leading up to it and then again on the radio?
I might do some Twittering.
Oh, do you have any Western or Northwest people in your circle?
Oh, I have followers, Steve.
Oh, okay. I didn't fans. Fans are going. Okay.
I don't know about fans, but followers.
The haters sometimes follow, too. Player of the game tonight, we had a discussion about it. It's tough to not choose somebody from the Napoleon team because they're victorious. You had Tobin McCrum with the big pass play to Schneider that ends up being a huge play to get Napoleon's offense started. You have Cale Fairbanks, who we know, you know, triggered the offense there late in the game with some fantastic running. But no player was better tonight overall or more important to their team than Michael Brown for East Jackson. So in the loss, a rare thing to happen for us on our post game, but I think we're going to go with Michael Brown, junior running back from East Jackson, as our player of the game tonight in the losing effort. He was spectacular at times on offense, always explosive, and never gave up. And the 82-yard-ish unofficially kickoff return was the most exciting play of the night. And he was just, Marshawn Lynch was the name that came to mind. I just picture that run, beast mode, when he just would throw defenders down. And that's what Michael Brown did on that run.
He did. He displayed tonight not only some power as he did in that kick return, but some you know, you mentioned Barry Sanders early in the game,
yeah.
And he had some nice jukes.
Geez, I am comparing him to the NFL all-time greats.
You are. Wow. Turns out Michael Brown is the best back in the state of Michigan, according to Steve Boyle. No, Michael, he deserves some accolades and some he had a great game, and he did combine power and moves. Impressive.
So our player of the game tonight in the losing effort, Michael Brown, responsible for the touchdowns, especially the one that gave East Jackson the lead back, and it looked like they might hold on to bring an end to their losing streak. Instead, that will continue for at least one more week, and they're going to have their hands full with a very good Grass Lake team. One more two-minute break, and we'll come back and wrap up the broadcast here. Again, the final from Napoleon, 15-12 on K105.3.
Now back to high school football on Jackson's Hit Music, K105.3.
Steve Boyle, Brian Haynes, final check-in here at Napoleon High School. And one last out-of-town scoreboard look for Tri-County Water. And I got finals here. Addison 42-23, I believe, is a final now. And Manchester Clinton 26-7. They had a lead over Blissfield. We got a final. Northwest with a victory over Battle Creek Penfield. So 1-1 now for Northwest and 1-1 for Battle Creek Penfield. Grass Lake 48-0 over Vandercook Lake. That is a final. Grass Lake moves to 2-0 and Vandercook 1-1. I believe that Hanover Horton, we don't know if that was a final yet, but 32-7 was the last score that we had. 32-2, Columbia Central over Leslie, and the Golden Eagles stay unbeaten, and they're going to have a nice year this year. They really, Ethan Emerson really looked like he's going to just step right in Cole Partridge's shoes and just keep that offense firing.
Seeing them up close and personal last week, they were impressive.
Final again at Lumen Christi, the Titans beat Western 22-7. That was a final, and Jonesville 36-7 winners over Concord. And Matt Lehman's Yellow Jackets go to 1-1. Jonesville now 1-1 also on the season. Catch all the scores tomorrow morning on WKHM Jackson's News Talk, 970 AM, 101.5 FM. Sports Saturday with Greg O'Connor, Tom Ratchford, and John Manzer. Again, it's 8 to 10 AM. Follow that up with the Jamie McKibben Outdoor Show and then University of Michigan football. Pregame 11 o'clock, kickoff at noon. U of M at Army. What do you have for that game?
You know, I'm a little.
Can you call your bookie?
Well, I'm, you know, I like to keep more in the purity of the sport. But no, I actually kind of, and I'm a Michigan fan. I wouldn't be surprised if Army has a little ball control and slows it down a little bit, and they might stay inside that number. If there is such a thing. Are there numbers? I don't know.
I don't know what the number is, but I'm
might
sure there's
22.5.
Is that what? Maybe?
Maybe.
All right, well, we're going to wrap it up here. Good time tonight, Brian. We're going to be live again for on Friday for the Camino 5.3 Football Frenzy at Western High School with the Northwest Mounties visiting, a Mountie team that got a win tonight, and Northwest will be 1-1. So those teams will have identical records, and I-8 battle there. What bad blood between those two teams. One more time, let's mention our Football Frenzy qualifiers here. The following people are qualified now for $1,053, and that's Trista Rink, Nicole Mitchell, Joe Bragg, Dwayne Lewis, Dan Pace, Chad Barris, Tony Griggs, Craig Fairbanks, Sandy Fisher, and Autumn Utenbone. And congratulations to Missy Burkhart on winning a $50 Amazon gift card at our pregame tailgate broadcast. And we'll be doing that again. Get out there a little bit early, about 6 o'clock, to Western High School, and you have another chance to sign up for our Fall Into Cash $1,053 with the K105.3 Football Frenzy. For Brian Haynes, I'm Steve Boyle, and we'll talk to you next week.